Amen, amen. Well, happy Resurrection Day. I just wanted to read this as we get into it. And this is an account of when they were headed towards the tomb to go find Jesus' body and anoint him for burial. And so as they were confronted by those, the two angels there, it says, "Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.'" And later Jesus says to them, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Do you believe this, church? Amen. Well, we want to start out worshiping our King today. Feel free to stand or do whatever you want, but we want to just start out with worship. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Jesus, thank you so much that we can sing a song like this because you live. Thank you that you went to the cross willingly and obediently to the Father, Lord, to purchase our salvation, Lord. But we're so grateful that on the third day you rose again to life, that we can sing a song like that, that we can praise you, that we can say he is risen. Lord, we're thankful and we're grateful for everything that you've done, Lord. And we celebrate you today and pray that it wouldn't be just today, but that it would be every day. But Lord, we get to celebrate you all together today, and we're so thankful for that. Lord, we praise you. We glorify you, and we pray that this time that we have together in fellowship with each other and with you would be pleasing to you. We thank you, Lord, and pray these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I know Wade already did this, but I want to do it anyway. He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. Isn't that great? That's good stuff, isn't it? I'm so glad you're here today. I'm glad you guys have all joined together to celebrate the Lord and to come worship with us. And I just want to say, what a blessed morning. What a blessed morning. I hope you woke up. You just had joy in your step. You were ready to just worship Jesus, because that's what we're going to do today. And before we do that, I have a few announcements, but they're going to be very few today. We do have one more response that we're doing next Saturday down to Mill City for the fire response. If you weren't part of that first half of the project that we worked on last time, you can join us. Please make sure you sign up there at the information table so that we know you're going and we can appropriately have enough meals to feed you also. And then I want to let you know that we have men's and women's Bible studies. I hope you'll join in on those with us and have some other times of celebration. Plus, we have a Sunday night home fellowship. And if you'd like to create a home fellowship, we'd love to have you tell us about that so that we can talk with you and maybe get you established, have another home fellowship somewhere else in the community. Other than that, that's it. So now let's just do the praying part. If you're new with us today, we pray a little bit. I'm going to lead us into about four different sections, and then I'm going to be silent, and we can all just sit where we're at and pray those things, particularly how the Lord leads you, and then we'll come back and move to the next point. So let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for celebrations. We're so grateful that your word is filled with celebrations. Even as we think of the Feast of Israel, we have all but one of them are celebrations that are even surrounded by food, and Lord, we're grateful for that too. We love that you love us so much and that you enjoy being with people and sharing life with people and hearing from them and having them hear from you words of life. It's such a joy to belong to you. And Lord, we want to pray for all those today who do not know you, who do not have a relationship with you, who somewhere in their head got clouded in their thinking about who you are. And they just misunderstand. They think that you are a God who just wants to crush them, a God who is so stringent and tight and everything that there's no way to ever be with you and please you. And Lord, what we know from being your followers is that you're just filled with grace and mercy, that you're a God who just loves to celebrate with your people. And so, Lord, we want to just take a moment right now. We want to pray for all those who have a misunderstanding about who you are, that today would be the day that their eyes would be opened, their hearts would be changed, that they would come to receive you as you are, a righteous and holy God filled with mercy and grace. So we pray now for all those who don't know you. And Lord, we want to take a moment and we want to pray for the church worldwide today. We know that there's persecution that takes place in the church. There always has been, and there's certainly an uptick of it right now. And Lord, we just want to pray for peace on Resurrection Sunday, that people would come together in houses of worship or maybe even in their home because there's no house of worship in their community or their country. And we just want to pray for wherever they're gathering, the church, your body of believers, not the building, but also for the place that they would come to, that it would truly be a place where your peace resides today. So we want to pray now for the persecuted church and for all those believers who will meet today to have a day of peace and celebration in you. And Lord, finally, we want to pray for the for Jerusalem, for the peace of Jerusalem, just as your word says. And we know, Lord, that you have a special relationship with the nation of Israel, with the Jewish people. And we love that, Lord. Your faithfulness to them declares your faithfulness to us also, the Gentile church, the church age. And so as we're praying now for the peace of Jerusalem, Father, in particular, we're praying today that so many in Jerusalem and in Israel would realize that you are the Messiah, Jesus, that this Resurrection Sunday, they would come to the point to realize that the one who went to the cross and rose from the grave is the Messiah they were looking for, and they would receive you as such today, and there would be such celebration throughout Jerusalem, such peace with God, finally, Lord, and we just want to pray for that right now. Lord, we want to thank you for this time just to be with you, to speak with you, to have a conversation with the living God. I mean, it's just amazing that we can do that. And we don't take that lightly, Lord, and we just want to tell you right now how grateful we are for who you are and the way you love us. And Lord, we just ask that you would magnify our celebration today as we glorify you, as we speak about you, as we worship you, as we give thanks to you, in song and in prayer and in message and even in the way we fellowship, Lord, bringing glory to you in every conversation. And we want to thank you now for our time together, and we just turn back to a time of music to worship you now, Lord. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's worship.
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. When I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters, holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free? There is a cross that bears the burden, where another died for me. There is another in the fire. All my debt let up dead beneath the waters. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. And should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning? Either way, I won't bow to the things of this world. And I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding, the power set me free. There is a grave that holds nobody. Now that power lives in me. There is another in the fire. There is another in the fire. Oh, there is another in the fire. Oh, there is another in the fire. Oh, I can see the light in the darkness as the darkness falls to him. I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between where's thin. I can feel the ground shake between us as as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. There is no other name but the name that is Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come what may in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. I know I will never be alone. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy from every battle, cause I know that's where you'll be. I can see the light in the darkness as the darkness bows to him. I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between wears thin. I can hear the ground shake beneath us as the prison walls cave in. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, count the joy from every battle, cause I know that's where you'll be. Count the joy from every battle, cause I know that's where you'll be. I count the joy come every battle, cause I know that's where you'll be.
The Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raise this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raise this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raise this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raise this life up from the dead, Jesus. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel and shall not faint. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Oh, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, forever to the King of Kings. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
To the King
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Oh, hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. God, you are my living hope. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Jesus, that you are our living hope, that we don't pray and worship a God who is dead and who is not living. Lord, we love you, and we're so grateful that you're alive and that you sit at the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us, Jesus. We couldn't do any of this without you, and we wouldn't want to. We praise you, Lord. We thank you that we get to worship you and praise you on this Resurrection Sunday. And that we get to tell each other that he has risen and encourage each other with those words. We praise you, Lord, now and look forward to hearing from your word, to hearing about the resurrection and all it means for us, Lord. And we pray that you would be glorified. We thank you, Lord. And we pray these things in the mighty, in the matchless name of our risen King and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, I'll tell you what, I am so grateful for the internet, or last Easter we wouldn't have had a service at all, but I will tell you, it's much better together. Amen? Amen. What a joy to be able to hear you sing and worship and just to kind of peek over my shoulder and look back and see people truly celebrating the Savior. I mean, that's the best. But there's one more part that we get to do that we can't do on the internet. Let's get up and say hi to somebody. Now, if you're concerned, just stay seated. If somebody's seated, please leave them alone. Respect their space. But for the rest of you, get up and greet one another. Just hold back the holy kiss. Okay, Ron already tried that today. We'll have none of that. Okay, you got about 60 seconds, so make it count. Let's do it. Thank you. Sorry. Why don't you give me a thumbs up? Stand over there and give me a thumbs up if it's good. All right, let's start heading back to our seats, if you would. Finish your last greeting and start moving back. All right. If you would, let's grab our seats. Let's do this. I would tell you to open in your Bible to one particular spot where we're going to bounce it around a little bit so you'll see the verses up on the screen, hopefully, and if not, that's all right. You can get a copy of these notes if you just sign up for them. We'll make sure we send them out to you. Today, as we're celebrating the resurrection, I wanted to just kind of start a little bit backwards a few days, move back a little bit. We don't typically do that, but I think it's really suiting for us to do so today. I was recently hearing last week of attacks in Indonesia against believers who came together for Palm Sunday. They came together just to worship the Lord, and people who hate the Lord, which have always been the case, had come and perpetrated violence against him. And we know that those things have happened in our world on and off, and there's kind of an uptick, as we talked about earlier in this. And I imagine that many of those same people will be somewhere today worshiping Jesus on Resurrection Sunday. They're going to go anyway. And you might say to yourself, why did they continue to go? Don't they know that they could lose their life? Don't they know that by going to church and publicly identifying with Jesus in those hostile places, they could lose their life? And I was speaking with some friends of ours this week, and he is now on hospice and expected to be able to go home and see Jesus face to face any day now. It's going to be one of those realities. And as I was talking with them, I couldn't help but notice the joy in both of them. Excitement for him, he's going home, and a peace for her because she knows where he's going. And you think, how can that be? I mean, they're days away from being separated in this life, just in a moment. I was working with a church who last summer they lost their youth pastor and one of their kids in a drowning accident. And I've been working with them on and off since that time. And I was over there at the church just a couple weeks ago. And I met the wife of the youth pastor. She was in the parents' meeting as I was talking with the parents before they'd go on an outing again. I hadn't got to meet her up to this point. Other members of our team had ministered to her, and I just hadn't had a chance to meet her. And she came up afterwards and said, hey, you know, I'm so-and-so's wife, and I just want you to know, gosh, this has been so great for you guys to be here. I'm so grateful to be a part of this church. And she's invested in the church regularly, showing up with the parents. The kids are still coming over to her house and spending the night that we're in the youth group. I mean, she's that lady. And you say, wow, and all that tragedy, what's going on? How does she do that? How does that work? And folks, each of these accounts have a similar piece that bonds them all together, and it's the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Isn't that awesome? That's what does it. And that's what makes all this work. And you see, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead 3 days after surrendering himself on that cross, not that cross, but you get the idea, but on the cross to pay our sins, to reconcile us back to the Father, then everything that I just shared with you would be nothing but loss. There would be no bright side. There would be no hope. I mean, it's lost to never be regained again, but that's not the story that we're talking about today. And we were talking about this in men's yesterday, that Hebrews 2:15 tells us that there are people who live all their life in bondage for fear of death. Look it up yourself. You don't have to look it up because you see it. People who are constantly afraid, they can never join back into the stream of life and enjoy what God's given them because they're so pushing against the reality that death is coming, that it is something that's going to happen. But the resurrection of Jesus from the dead changed that forever. The narrative for us has changed. That's why when we're singing, and we sing hallelujah to the one who set us free, and you can't help it. You burst. I hear you burst. All of a sudden there's clapping and there's yeah. Because we know the reality that the resurrection has changed everything and forever. And what I mean forever, I mean for all eternity. It is never going to be the loss that it was before because Jesus is alive. It's why the Apostle Paul could say, you know, a guy who was constantly in the place of putting his life on the line, to literally die. And he goes through an account where he says, man, I've been shipwrecked, I've been stoned to death, and he actually was stoned to death and resurrected temporarily. And he's been in prison and all these things, and yet he could say in 1 Corinthians 15, he could say, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, or the grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that victory includes the resurrection. When Jesus says it was finished, he already knew that if he died, he would be raised again. He had total confidence in that. That's included in there. The resurrection is included in the total victory. And so today, we're celebrating the total victory. And as you likely are not surprised, because yeah, you're obviously here, and we've already said he has risen several times, and if you're new to the Christian circle, that usually means it's Resurrection Sunday, by the way. But you come here today to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And his resurrection has so many implications for us. We've already listed one, but there's more to it for sure. And so we're just going to jump in here and read 1 Peter 1:3-5. And I love this. Peter is going to quote this after he has met the Lord, walked with the Lord, watched the Lord die, experienced his resurrection, walked 40 days with him before he saw him ascend to be with God in heaven, to see the whole thing. And here's what he says after that experience. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. Isn't that great? We sang that today, didn't we? Jesus Christ, our living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. It means it's not going to be diminished. It's not going to lose its value. Somebody's not going to renegotiate the deal on us. To be an undefiled, and that means sin isn't going to touch it. It's not going to make it less. It's not going to, again, degrade its value in us. And that does not fade away. It has no expiration date. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And I believe we're right on that last time. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, let's make it be so. But all of this is here for us, all this. And there is so much richness in this short little blessing, which is actually in the introduction to this letter he has here, starting with the reality that God the Father has revealed his mercy for us. Mercy. Isn't that great? We talk a lot about grace, but mercy comes before grace. It's how grace is available to us, by the merciful nature of God himself. And God the Father wasn't merciful to us because we earned it, or even because we begged for it, because what we know from Scripture, what it's telling us, is that we were at enmity with God when he actually enacted the plan of our salvation. We weren't even asking to be saved. We weren't even asking for help. God had to do all this for us in advance. That's mercy poured out for us. And his merciful, or he is merciful, because it's his very nature. It's just who he is. He can't deny himself. It's what he wants for us. It's what he has given all of us. And he's always been that way. It has never changed. Now, this is where it gets confusing for some. And we prayed for these earlier today. For those who just don't understand who God is, they say, I don't understand. You tell me God is merciful, but then you tell me that there's a decision I have to make that will determine if I spend eternity with him or without him, in heaven or in hell, saved in all light or forever in darkness. And how do you say that he's merciful? But what they don't understand is he's perfectly merciful and he's 100% righteous in all that he does. And because he's the creator, he's the one who has to uphold righteousness. He is the one that is the final one. Everybody is responsible to him, and he's the source of all accountability for all unrighteousness in his creation. He created it, he polices it, and you should be grateful that he does. I know that I am. And at the cross, God required just payment for sin. He had to do it. If he didn't do that, he would be an unrighteous God, and you couldn't trust him. You couldn't trust anything he said, because he said, this is righteousness, but I don't care about righteousness. I know what's true. I'm just not going to uphold what's true. He had to do that very thing. And the just penalty we know is death. Death physically, and death which would be a separation from him eternally. But ultimately, he displays the mercy there by sending Jesus to die in our place. To die the death that you and I are required to pay for our sins. Now, I've heard some say that it wasn't God the Father who did this or showed this mercy. It was the Son. It was the Son who went to the cross, right? Where's God the Father's mercy? And I've heard people even say it's divine child abuse that he sent the Son to the cross. And I'm like, boy, you don't get it at all, because the Son volunteered. He said, I will do it. But it's here in these verses, even in Peter, that we hear it was the mercy of God the Father. And I know that we don't fully grasp the fact that there's one God and three persons. I mean, we get it and we don't get it. Amen? There's some things that are too marvelous for us to understand, but we realize that what we're told in 2 Corinthians 5:19 is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Our God is a God of mercy, and it cost him for us, and he willingly did it. All together, one God and three persons there, paying the penalty for our sin. Folks, God's righteousness and mercy met at the cross. Isn't that a crazy thing to think of? Perfect righteousness, having to uphold all righteousness, and yet sending a Son. And some people say mercy and righteousness kissed at the cross. And they did. They came together in one particular event, because Jesus knew when he'd go to the cross that it wasn't the end of the story. It wasn't the end of our story. And God's love that he displays to us doesn't even stop there, because it says that abundant mercy of his has begotten us again to a living hope. And I love that. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, if Jesus would have remained in the grave, we wouldn't have a living hope but a dead faith. And I know that the cross is so focal most of the time, because we're aware we're sinners. But man, the resurrection should be equally focal, because it's all part of the same event. You can't parse them out. They come together. They're a package deal. Justice, mercy, love from God for us. All in one event. And we don't have a dead faith. And that's why we sing, up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph over his foes. We know that. We're talking about salvation because of resurrection. That's why we're here today. So we have a vibrant relationship with a loving and living Savior. And that's another thing many people who don't have a relationship with Jesus don't understand. And I think it's been preached poorly by many. I think many have done a great job. Some have not done a great job. And they make it about religion instead of a relationship with a loving, living God, a living hope. a resurrected Jesus who's interceding for us day in and day out. And if he wasn't living and he died for us on the cross but was never resurrected, you know what? Who would intercede for us after that point for the sins that we commit? Now, I know we're talking about people in another place because none of us have ever sinned again since we've received Jesus. But let's just talk about those hypothetical people. A living, loving God is interceding for them, and he wants a personal relationship with us through faith in him. Faith. It all comes down to that. And the hope that we see or we don't see yet, we know without a doubt we will see. We know that we're going to see that. And I love that because as we look at it, we see that there are promises that God has made that he's always kept. He's always kept all his promises, just like us. Again, we're working on this. We've always kept all of our promises. Okay, maybe not. But God has always kept all of his. And we also know that there's proofs that he displayed, one of which being what we celebrate today, the fact that he defeated the grave. And there's a place in heaven reserved for all of us who are his. A place in heaven. I mean, part of what we're celebrating about the resurrection today is our future. I mean, not just today. We are celebrating today. We're getting through this today, but we know that there's a future, a place reserved in heaven for us. And the confirmation code for our ticket into heaven is faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, which again includes the resurrection. Because without the resurrection, you and I would still face the consequences for our sin, which is death. Think about that. Some people overlook this beautiful thing that Jesus died to defeat sin. And what was the wages of sin? Death. If he didn't raise from the dead, then the consequence for sin would still be enacted upon all of us. But he outdid it. Because without that, we would be lost. It was Jesus laying down his life and then taking it back up again, along with the work of the Father and the Holy Spirit. And by the way, you can find that in Scripture. Jesus says he took his life back up. The Father says he brought Jesus back. The Holy Spirit said he did it. Why? Because God, who is one in three persons, was all involved in the resurrection of Jesus for us. And it defeated both sin and the eternal penalty, which I'm so grateful for because I earned every piece of that penalty box. And so did you. And not only did the resurrection pave the way for us to follow him into eternity, it made a condition of man better than it was before the fall. Have you ever thought about that? We think about the fall with Adam, and we think, well, Adam walked with God in the garden. And he walked there before sin brought curse, before death was in the earth. But at that point, Adam was only innocent, which is great. Innocence is a great thing, right? But when Jesus died and was resurrected and we believe in him, it's not just innocence anymore. It's his righteousness that defines us. We were brought into a better condition than Adam had ever walked into because we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ accredited to our account. God will look at us on the day of judgment and he'll say, righteous. Yeah? And it's true. And Adam, as he walked on the earth, he did not walk in a glorified body. He walked in a body that sin hadn't gotten the consequences of yet, but you and I, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're going to walk in a glorified body. Do you know what that means? A body that doesn't age. It doesn't get sick. It doesn't die. It doesn't stink. It doesn't sag. It doesn't do any of those things. It's going to be beautiful. We're in a better condition than Adam was ever in. Deodorant will not be needed in heaven. It's going to be perfect because Jesus did all these things for us in the resurrection. He paved the way. Now we're going to go to Philippians 3, 10 through 11. If you're a Bible flipper, you can do that really quick, or maybe you're scrolling in your phone, but I'll just read it for you and it'll show up again too. And the Apostle Paul, who is the apostle to the Gentiles, now tells us, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Many of us in this room have already come to experience what it means to have a relationship with Jesus and to be born again spiritually, to have that reality take place for us. We talked about the difference between the kingdom of heaven, which is here now spiritually, and the kingdom of heaven, which is coming in literal last week. but we're in the reality, but there's more to that reality to unfold. And this is what we're talking about here. We've come into that relationship and we're born again spiritually. But Paul was speaking about preparation in this life for what he knew was coming, the literal. He knew and he was ready. And he says, man, that's what I want. I want my whole life to be a preparation for the time that I'm going to walk into that place of the literal kingdom of heaven with God. And he knew having Jesus as Savior didn't mean everything in this life would be easy. He knew that, and I like that. And he says, you know, I want to understand his resurrection and his suffering. And it's a package deal. It's just how life works. You're going to have the suffering one way or the other, with or without Jesus. But the sufferings of Jesus are glorious. The sufferings in this world have no value. They just hurt. And Paul says, man, I want to know those. And it simply reminds us again that we're going to walk through trials in this life. Some of you had trials on the way to church this morning, or trials in the last couple weeks leading up to this. But we know that these trials, because of the resurrection of Jesus, are not the ending of our story. Even if you leave here today and you're done, let's say your days on earth are over today. Because of Jesus Christ, your story hasn't ended. It just flipped to a more glorious chapter. That's the resurrection. That's our place. They actually serve to keep our eternal hope in the forefront of our minds. Trials are great that way. They make us think about all the things that we're looking forward to. Have you ever heard those accounts from soldiers, either in movies or real accounts, where they get interviewed afterwards and they say, gosh, the only thing that kept me going in those tough times was my desire to go home, was my desire to see the ones I love again, my desire to return back to the place that is so precious to me. And they realize they're in a foreign land fighting a battle which isn't just for themselves. It's fighting for those that they love, fighting for those that they want to also have the same liberties and freedoms and ability to be able to be together as family. And so they say, man, it's what I was looking forward to that kept me going. It's the only way I press through some of the times that are unimaginable. And that's what you and I have too. They understood that they weren't just fighting for themselves, and we understand that. We're not just fighting for ourselves now. We're fighting for our neighbors, for our children, for our parents, for the cousins, everybody that we know. We're in this battle. And Paul says, man, I want to know those sufferings so that I may know the resurrection, that I might know him in his death, because he knew his death was just the door to the greater reality, to the literal kingdom of heaven. And man, it kept him going. Paul knew this desire after coming to know the love of Jesus. He knew that himself personally, and he wanted to walk in the same footsteps where Jesus traveled to set other people free through the gospel of grace. And he was willing to do that. He traveled everywhere and told them all about Jesus, just as hopefully many of you are doing. And I know some of you have that evangelistic heart. Man, there are trees out there that are hearing the gospel from you. And hopefully that's what we're doing. And we know from Paul's story, this wasn't a path that he chose to insulate himself from difficulties or the trials of this life, but rather he stepped right into them. He just kept going straight ahead, just as Jesus had, who set his example for him. But it was Paul's looking forward to the resurrection and being with Jesus that got him through all those pieces. The resurrection. Resurrection power, he knew it. And the same opportunity, although maybe smaller in scope than Paul's, I'd imagine so, maybe not, is presented to each one of us. We have the same opportunity to know his resurrection and to know his sufferings, that we could preach the kingdom of heaven to others until we literally get there. And the opportunity is to know Jesus and to do the works of the gospel and to attain to the resurrection. That's why we celebrate, isn't it? Because we know that that is our future. It's not something that might happen. It's what will happen. And many of us in this room, again, have already made that choice. And in all actuality, we don't just celebrate the resurrection today. We celebrate it every day. We just dress up better today, right? And as some people saw me in slacks and are like, you own slacks? Yes, it's true. And my wife dresses me. Thank you, honey. But not knowing Jesus also means that there's a consequence. It's not receiving the resurrection into eternal life. Because one way or the other, you're going to eternally exist. And some people have that wrong too. They think only the person who followed Jesus eternally exists. But that's not what the Bible tells us. Everybody will eternally exist. If you were born in this life, you will exist eternally. It's just a question of in which state, in which location, in which position. And folks, this is a big deal. And hear what the author of Hebrews says in chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. He says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. And you know, Jesus came to bring the good news of the God's plan of salvation to everybody, of this redemption to every single person who would trust in him. And there's never been a greater gift to mankind. And so he asks the question, how can you escape if you neglect so great a gift? I mean, that's an important question. It's not enough just to receive it like it's religion. Religion hasn't saved anybody ever. It never will. It can't. Religion is man trying to appease to God by his own merits, his own efforts, his own whatever. And it's not some kind of insurance for the afterlife. I mean, I'm trying to picture what that commercial would look like, and it just looks silly to me. It's not that, but many people see it that way. The resurrection, the salvation of God. He came as the Savior for all who would turn to him, turn from their sins, and receive him as their Lord. That's who he is. And this is an important decision that many people hopefully will make today. For those who don't want to do so, well, you're on your own. You owe a debt you can't pay. And you owe a debt you don't want to pay. And yet there's some who deceivingly think that they're going to have barbecues in hell and party with all their friends all their lifetime. And that isn't the deal that's going down here. That's not what he said. And God says, man, you got to respond to me. You have to respond to me in my righteousness. You have to respond to me in my love for you. You actually have to come to me. And to neglect this offer of salvation is to decide your own condemnation. The Bible tells us over and over again that God wishes that none would perish, no, not one, that all would come into salvation, into eternal life, that would know the resurrection of Jesus Christ, would know the kingdom of God here spiritually now within, that they could walk in that peace and look forward to what's coming literally eternally. That's what he wants. But there's a decision that has to be made. He sent Jesus to tell you of salvation. He provided witnesses to tell you of the supernatural things that we've been reading about in the Gospel of Luke, the things that God did that nobody else could do. We talked about that in the Old Testament. Nobody ever healed somebody from blindness because it was something that only Messiah could do based on prophecy. And what did he do? Every blind person he saw seems to have their sight restored. It's the billboards of Jesus being Messiah, and they were everywhere, and he's done this for all of us over and over again, supernaturally, to display he was who he said he was. And he fulfilled all these prophecies relating to him, which we talked about last Easter, starting 2,000 years before his birth. That's pretty amazing stuff, because he wants everyone to come to him according to his own will. That's what we just read. And that's what he wants for you today, too, if you're here and you don't have a relationship with him. Now, it's up to decide what you're going to do with all that. You get to make a decision. You can't blame anybody else for the outcome of what you will do. For those who've already made the decision today, and truly that's every day for us, we've decided just to rejoice in him every day, we celebrate. That's what we do. We come to Resurrection Sunday. And we sing, and we hoop and holler, and we clap, and we jump up and down. We even dress fancy. We do all these things to celebrate Jesus Christ, our King. And so for those of you who haven't done that, I want to just let you know in a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray to receive Jesus. If you're here with us in person, or if you're watching on the internet, maybe you're going to watch this in a few days, and it won't even be Resurrection Sunday. And still the same offer is for you to receive him and to celebrate. For the rest of us, we celebrate the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who died for us, was raised again, and is coming again, that we might be with him forever. Amen. Let's give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask the servers to get ready for communion. I'm going to pray real quick, and then we'll have them come forward. And if you'll just bow your head with me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for all that the resurrection means. Lord, expand our understanding, our thinking, our minds. You said we'd be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And Lord, we truly want our minds to be fixated on you. We don't want to be those who just understand the simplicity of salvation. We love that. We need that. We must have it. It's the beginning. But Father, we are absolutely in love with all of you, God. And what we really want to do is we want to worship you and praise you with all that we could know about you, with all that we could come into understanding with. That's what we really, really desire, Lord. And so it's at this point, we just want to celebrate you and give you praise and ask that you would help us to retain and understand and be able to explain these things to others. You tell us that you'll give us the words when we need them. And Lord, we want them more often than that. We want them etched in the forefront of our minds. Lord, we want to walk down the street, see people, and think of verses, how you would instruct us and lead us. We want to be directed by your Holy Spirit in the way we converse today. Lord, we want to be those who experience these trials of life that Paul was talking about, and immediately your word comes back to us, and we say, that's how I'm going to do it. That's how I'm going to do it for my resurrected King. I'm going to give him praise and worship in the way that this all goes down right now. Lord, that's who we are. And we want to celebrate you today as we continue to sing and we have a time in communion and then a time in fellowship or whatever else we would do, even as we leave the doors today. And we just want to praise you for it. But Lord, we're asking right now as we give an opportunity for some to receive you as Savior, that your Holy Spirit would be working on them wherever they are. And we know that many others are giving the same opportunity to receive you today, and we pray your Holy Spirit is working in those places too. And so now I want to speak to you. If you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus, I want you to know that God did it all. His righteousness and mercy met at the cross. Jesus came into this world. God the Father gave him a body that he could come into the world and he could pay your sin debt in full on the cross of Calvary. He would take your punishment 100% upon himself. And he did. And he was able to say, it is finished. And 3 days later, he rose from the grave to defeat death for you. That you too will be resurrected, even in the day that you die, to be with the Lord forever if you're not raptured first. And that's another amazing thing for you that's a possibility. But here's how you receive him today. You say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. And I receive that you died in my place and were raised again on the third day. And I want you to be my Lord. And if you mean that with all your heart, if you truly desire that in him today, and you simply pray something that simple, the work has already been done. It's finished. You're saved. You're his forever. Today is Resurrection Sunday. You're born again, spiritually born again, a new creation. The old is wiped out. Your sin debt canceled forever. And he says, you get to start again with him. And he's going to give you the power of his Holy Spirit to walk with him according to his desire. You are saved. Welcome to the family of Jesus. What a gift of God. Amen. Lord, we just want to pray for anybody who would receive you today, who would rededicate themselves to you today, who would understand you for who you really are and not some religious icon, not some eternal insurance, but our living hope. And we want to glorify you and praise you now in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the servers to come forward and hand you the communion cup. It is in two pieces. If you're new with us today, there's a thin little film on the top. You'll have to pull that back to get to the bread. And then there's the foil for the cup. And then after we do this next worship song, we'll come and take communion together. Holy.
beautiful. I fall onto my knees in awe. In the heartbeat of my life is to worship in your light. Your glory is so beautiful. Your glory is so beautiful.
Hopefully you figured out your communion cups here if you would take your bread. Jesus said as they were eating, he took the bread, he blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And one of the other accounts says it's my body which is given for you. Let's take and eat the bread together. Lord, as we think about all that that means, and not just something to be said, but power and truth behind it, it's crazy, God, that you would come as the babe of Bethlehem in a body. 100% God, 100% man, that you would then, with that body, walk around and teach us and show us how we as your disciples, as your followers, are to walk. Then you would offer that body up on that cross. Then you would take that body back up again 3 days after on Resurrection Sunday. And then you would show us that that body would be resurrected to a perfect body, imperishable, that would never sin, that would never die, that would never age, that would be beyond our imagination, Lord, a body that you would have forever in order to save us and to identify with us, Lord, and a body that was given for us. We just want to thank you, God, that you have gone to such great lengths for your creation, for those that you spoke into existence and knit together in their mother's wombs. We want to thank you, Jesus. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Let's take the cup. Lord, I love the entire account here, because it's not just speaking of the new covenant, it spells it out for us more here. As you spoke, and you spoke to your disciples, and we know that we're your disciples. And we're so grateful because you tell us that it is for the remission of our sins. It cleanses us from past, present, and future sin that we as people get into. And you've done this for us for no reason other than how great you are and how wonderful you are and how much you love your creation. And then to hear this promise, Lord, that you're going to wait and you'll not drink of it again. We're told to drink of it. You tell us to do this often in remembrance of you. But that you're not going to drink it again until you drink it with us that day that we enter into the Father's kingdom with you. But we're practicing, Lord, now for a celebration that's coming because of your resurrection, because of all that you did to pay our debt. And Lord, we're so delighted. We're so excited. We want that to happen right now. But Lord, while we're here, we just want to be yours in every capacity, and we will do this as often as we can to remember and commemorate, to never forget what has occurred on our behalf. You're amazing, Lord. We love you. We just want to celebrate you. We want to keep celebrating you. Lord, we want to sing a few more songs together that speak of your goodness. It's amazing, these lyrics and the gifting that you've given some people to portray the gospel so perfectly in a few minutes in a song to touch our hearts. But Lord, we're singing them not for us, but for you. And we're singing them to you. It's about you. It's all about you. And so would you just join us, Lord? Would you receive them as an offering of praise? And would you help us, even as we leave here, Lord, to get one or two or three of these stuck in our head for the next week, that we would just wake up singing it. We'd be driving singing it. We'd be in stress and we'd start praising and worshiping you. We'd be in a place where we're going, this just couldn't get any better. And we declare your name through song and through praise and through the reading of the scripture. Lord, we just want to celebrate you today. And we thank you now and we praise you together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we want to close out our time in worship, and I want to say thank you to all of you for worshiping with us today, and just to see people standing and raising their hands. It's been such a blessing to see you really get into it. So let's stand as we close out today, and just say one more time, He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Let's praise.
You call me from the grave by name. You call me out of all my shame. I see the old has passed away. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given given us freedom. That I'm dressed in your royalty. Your Holy Spirit lives in me. And I see my past has been redeemed. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. Freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. My chains are gone. Freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. Hallelujah. Freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. My chains are gone. Freedom. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom. Hallelujah. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside. I'm no longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. I'm no longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. I have resurrection power living on the inside, living on the inside. No longer bound by sin and darkness. You have given us freedom. You have given us freedom.
Amen. Amen, Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you that we have resurrection power because of you that lives on the inside. Jesus, we love you, and we're so grateful that we get to celebrate today, that we get to celebrate every day because of you. We love you, Lord, and we're just so happy to have been here and to fellowship with each other, to worship together. What a great time it is just to be together with God's people and to worship together. Lord, we love you, and I pray that this wouldn't be just a one-time celebration, that it would be every day, and that we'd get to be reminded of it today, but we get to celebrate every day the resurrection and the life. We thank you, Jesus, and we praise you, and we glorify you, and pray all these things in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Would you bow your heads and hearts for the benediction? May you walk in the Spirit, experiencing the fullness of the joy of the Lord, shining as a light in the lost world, standing firm in your faith, testifying to your family, friends, and community by your love for God and for others. May your fellowship with the Holy Spirit and your ability to hear the voice of our great shepherd and your daily transformation to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus overflow in you in every moment until you see him face to face and eternally see him in all of his glory to forever enter into his rest. And all God's people said, amen. Have a wonderful Resurrection Sunday.